This is for the culture.
That's right.
The vendors of the fly, and you know it.
That's right.
Nurture the style.
This is Baraka. We are on the first episode of our new season of the podcast. Welcome to the show, Rising 60. We're still rolling. We're still going strong, right?
Yep. Back again. Glad to be here. For sure.
All right. We're going into the month of September, where we will be acknowledging this for this show, Back to School and Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yep. Back to School. We have Superintendent Roger Leon on with us today. We have Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Quiles. Talk about Hispanic Heritage Month and all the things that are being planned that's going to go on for this month as well. So I'm excited about the episode, actually.
All right. Good to know. So let's start rolling in like we always do into some Newark news. We can talk about COVID starting out. So much has happened since the last show back in May. For starters, COVID has slowed down a bit. And for Governor Murphy did pass an order that says coronavirus testing mandate for unvaccinated teachers, school employees, and state contractors and child care workers is ending. So do you foresee this mandate for vaccination being lifted for all sectors of employment? Do you foresee that happening?
Prayerfully, at some point, you know, all of it will be lifted. You know, I can't predict immediately what's going to happen. You know, still COVID is still out here, as well as other things. And, you know, people still have to be cautious. So I would advocate people still get tested or test themselves now and again, because you still can do that. But, I think eventually it'll all be lifted, you know, just the time period.
Right. And since the last show, monkeypox has came about, and like, which is crazy.
Monkeypox, polio.
Yes, I mean, it's just insane. It's insane.
Yeah, we're in a special time period.
Right. And thankfully, though, the monkeypox rate has been reported. It's reported by the news that it's been going down. It's been decreasing.
The
positive rate, so which is really good.
It is good. I mean, it's good. There's already a vaccine for that. I mean, it's nothing really very new. It's just something that's occurring, you know, and it has been affecting a lot of people who, you know, were immunocompromised.
Right.
It's a little bit more difficult to catch than COVID is.
Right.
And, you know, but it's still touching and, you know, all this other stuff. So you just got to be cautious, man.
Yeah.
Got to be cautious.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the topic of housing. There's been developments in housing within the city of Newark. Of course, there's housing developments going up around Newark. And one of the big home ownership development stories that recently came about was the Section 8 voucher program that now will allow holders of this voucher to own a home and pay a mortgage.
Yeah, that's very important, because the average cost of a home in Newark is about $360,000. To own it, and you know, average income for families is about $34,000. So, I don't know where you can buy a home with $34,000 income anywhere in America, but you know, so we have to be creative about finding opportunities for people not to just rent, but to own homes.
Right.
So, the Section 8 voucher program is tremendous, and we can really expand that in different ways too. So I look forward to those things happening.
Right, it's a great program. People should definitely look, you know, just look to the news and to our social media channels and things like that for developments on that, right? For the upcoming developments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for example, the woman we're talking about is only gonna pay a little over $200 a month for a mortgage for a house. Yeah, it is amazing.
That takes the burden of like that mortgage and the tax costs, all of the costs that goes into owning a home, it relieves that, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, so let's move on about the peace walk, which was last Saturday. How did your legs feel after that?
I was beat, you know? I haven't felt like that in a long time, you know? So it was 13 miles we walked, you know? I think it was a little over 13 miles.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it was a long, tedious walk, but it was worth it. And you know, just seeing the people's faces and the kids that were out there and the families and all of that, you know, just coming together to raise their voice against violence in their own community is huge.
Right, it is huge. It definitely shows your dedication and people in the community. Whoever did that walk, it shows that they dedicated to the city.
Plus, people always say, oh, we march for this, we march for that. That's always a criticism of our community.
Right.
When the police do something, we march against police brutality, but we don't march against the... So they can't say that about Newark.
Right.
Right. So we marched in Newark and longer than any other march for anything.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, news broke this week that Senator Ronald Rice is retiring after 36 years, which is huge that he's retiring. He's been a staple in the community for a very long time. So I wanted to ask you, as a previous educator and a now politician in Newark, how has his career impacted you and his legacy? How has it impacted you?
We grew up, you know, Ron Rice was an elected official in our community and is always a strong and steady voice, you know, a dependable voice in the state house, making sure that issues that concern our community were uplifted. He was a friend. And he always, like, in different settings, defended me and helped me and supported me. So personally, you know, in that space, he's going to be missed. He's also going to be missed by thousands of people across, tens of thousands of people across the state of New Jersey,
right,
who depended on that kind of steady, strong voice in the Senate down in Trenton. So, it's going to be big shoes to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so before we bring on the first guest, Mayor, anything you want to speak on
mind
today?
I'm good. I just want to let's jump right into it.
All right, let's
discussion today.
Okay, let's go ahead and introduce the first guest.
Yep, the first guest, Superintendent of Newark Board of Education, Roger Leon. Mr. Leon is a product of Newark Public Schools, a proud Newark resident, was an educator and assistant superintendent before his appointment to superintendent here in Newark. He has dedicated 25 years of service to the children of Newark in his career here at Newark Public Schools. He also was a student at Newark, went to Science High School as well. So we want to welcome Superintendent Roger Leon. You're just going to jump right in. This I don't think this is your first time here.
So no, second.
Yeah, the second time. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We're happy to have
sure.
you.
Sure. Yeah, this is second year regular now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so September is here, and, you know, people getting ready. Well, they returning to school, some schools, and, they're getting back in. And first thing we want to talk about is COVID and what parents should expect. Are students still required to wear masks? Is there going to be anything different about them coming to school this year?
Yeah, so I appreciate the question. As it relates to the mask wearing, that is consistent with where we were throughout the end of last year and actually during the summer. So of all of the mandates that we have, that's the only one that will actually continue come the start of school. And obviously, if anything changes in our days leading up to September 6th, which is the first day of school, we'll obviously notify parents accordingly.
Good. And if anything happens during the year, you'll obviously communicate with parents and let them know about any of that stuff.
Exactly.
And should any, what about this monkeypox? Are we scared of that? What's going on with that?
Well, you know, obviously as this is developing, whatever are the necessary precautions and information, that's the primary role we're playing, clarifying information for parents, getting them access, information with regards to vaccines. So part of what we did during the pandemic under your leadership and then mine in the district was to make sure that we were always informing people of what we were doing and then clarifying if anything was changing, because we knew during the 2.5 years that obviously things changed as it was developing.
That's
we'll
right.
continue to do the same thing here.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, I was a little nervous about the monkeypox, I'm not going to lie. But then seeing how things have developed and is less of a threat now, I see, and there's a vaccine out there. So I think that relieves the fear.
Yeah, I think part of it is just making sure that people are aware of what's occurring. So obviously things that are new, you know, we had 2.5 years of craziness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first initial step would be, you know, is this the same? Is it different? And then what's the information so that they can guide themselves accordingly.
Right.
So there's a bunch of new schools, man. Just give you a chance to talk about the newer schools that have been created. In Newark, I know we have the School of Fashion Design, Michelle Obama Elementary, Data Science Information, this Ironbound Academy. It's a bunch of stuff you probably obviously know more than I do, to give you a chance to expound on what these new schools are and how can parents enroll their kids in them.
Yeah, so through the Newark Enrolls process, all they would need to do is go onto the district's website and click, and then that would guide them to actually enrolling across all of these schools. These new schools in particular have a seat capacity that is endless. We want as many students wanting to, in fact, attend them. Ironbound Academy is our new school. It is K-4 are the grades currently. And then we will obviously grow one grade each year, so that school will eventually get to the eighth grade. One of the interesting aspects of the new schools is that it is a decision that we will make by 2025 for all of the other schools in Newark, but Sir Isaac Newton Elementary School, for example, the students that are there are automatically going to feed into Science High School. So we're redefining the feeder pattern of where, you know, it's not the elementary school closest to you that determines what high school, it's actually where you want your child to go. And so the elementary schools in each of the wards by 2025 will make the decision of what themes they are involved in. You mentioned Michelle Obama Elementary School. It is one of the most preferred schools, obviously, in our city right now. We're extremely excited about it. All of the students there will automatically feed into University High School for high school. And then by eighth grade, if a parent does not want their child attending whatever is the feeder pattern high school, they go through Newark Enrolls to actually enroll in the school of their choice.
Great. Sounds good.
Eight new schools since my start.
Wow.
Wow. That's amazing. And with the Ironbound Elementary, you said that's the new school for this year?
This year, right.
All right. Is there anything like special or different about the school? Like, I know a lot of the schools currently have like certain incentives that they can offer students.
Yeah, so the whole idea of the focus of these schools is to, by 2025, like I shared, make a determination as to which magnet high school they would be able to feed into. Mm-hmm. And then in the process, what we're doing is transforming all of the comprehensive high schools that actually will have components of the magnet high schools within them. And so these, all of these new elementary schools in particular, will then create an opportunity. We'll make those decisions by 2025.
Okay.
So that all these new schools must mean the enrollment is increasing in Newark Public Schools.
Well, I'm proud to report out that for this coming September, our enrollment is way over 38,000 students. That's the highest that has been in over a decade. It is consistent with kind of where we were at an earlier point in time in about good two decades ago, actually a little bit higher than that. So we're moving the school system in the direction where while people, and we subscribe to the whole idea that people have a choice of where they want to go to, it is exciting to see that people want to choose the schools that we govern over.
Okay,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people were getting worried, you know, some of these high schools, particularly in the South, were hemorrhaging students, and so.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that occurred, I don't know if you read any of it, some of the articles that, you know, wind up coming out are not worthy of being read, but we were receiving a lot of incredible attention, free publicity, at Malcolm X Shabazz High School. Right. The enrollment this year at Malcolm X Shabazz High School has been the highest in over a decade right about now. So we're obviously extremely excited about that. Right. As the trajectory previously was decreasing enrollment, we're actually flipping it. At Wheatwake High School, for example, the enrollment before I started in a freshman class was 48 students. Right. The enrollment this year, 200.
Wow.
That's great. That's
amazing.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're almost back, man. When I was the vice principal at Wheatwake, freshman class was at 300.
Yep.
So you're almost there, that's for sure.
This is one of the little effects of local control.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You have anything, Des?
Not to that response, but I think it's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing.
This summer, you broke ground on the School of Architecture and Interior Design. A few standout things about this school is that students interested in real estate will be offered the opportunity to earn their license. Just elaborate a little bit on that school. I've been getting a lot of calls, and not about the crazy articles that you said, but basically about how kids can get in there and what it is and, you know, what they're actually going to be allowed to do.
So just from a historical standpoint, in the mid-1990s during state operation, all of our home economics classes, all of the shop classes were eliminated from all of our schools to never be returned again. And the reality is that there are students that are making very important decisions after high school. One of them that we are preparing all of the students for is college. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are students that have a desire to do something other than that. And part of the school system is to also prepare them for that experience. So the Newark High School of Architecture and Interior Design is one example of that. We're focusing on three trades: plumbing, electricity, and HVAC. A student freshman year would select, would visit and study each of them for about 3 months. So we give them an introductory course, but the course is on each of those three trades. By the end May of their freshman year, they're to select one of them. I want to be a plumber. And so for the next 3 years, all they do is study plumbing. Sophomore year, they become an apprentice to one of my plumbers. One of the realities is that we have a lot of trade staff that work for the school system. And so they will partner as an apprentice with our staff members sophomore year. Junior and senior year, they become our interns as plumbers. They will be able to get paid for it. They will be doing work before school, after school, during the school day, on the weekends, just like an actual plumber would in fact be doing. So when they graduate from high school, they would graduate with a high school diploma, license, as well as a contract if they actually want to work in the Newark school system. The other component of it is what we call the honors track. So any of the students, regardless of the trade that they're studying, they will actually be able to receive a real estate license as well. Mm-hmm. So they graduate with everything that I just shared and a real estate license upon completion of the program. We're extremely excited about the prospects of what potential this actual school has. And I know that the interest of our students is large. It'll start with 240 freshmen.
That's amazing.
And when do you anticipate the opening of that? That's what people call me about.
Well, let me pray. So our anticipated opening would be September 2023, which would be next school year.
Wow.
Okay. That's amazing, though. Like, yeah. When I was at the groundbreaking, I was listening to all of the details of the school. It's just, like, exciting, you know? Because not everyone wants to go straight to college, or students who go into college, they'll have a trade to help pay for.
Yeah, I just say that our strategy is that we prepare all of the students for college, and then we allow them to choose what they want to do.
Right.
And so we provoke them to understand that there are opportunities that are far greater when you have a college degree than when you don't. But we know that in these trades, the work that they do today is far different from the past, and that the money that you can get is really, really good.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you know, one of the things, Mayor, because sometimes it's extremely important to put things into perspective. One of the things that we will teach the students is everything about this business, which also means the importance of being in a bargaining unit, the importance of protecting their health, their finances. All of that will be part of the strategy, because we don't want any of these students to ever be in a situation that compromises their health or safety.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we coming to the end of it. I just, anything you want to further explain or say before you get off, or talk about the objectives for this school year, anything you want to make clear for everybody?
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things, because we know that we've seen preliminary student achievement data on one data source, and we know that the impacts of COVID-19 have been real. We all are really excited that it's behind us, but its impacts are going to linger on. And so that there are program opportunities that we're affording our students, things that we know that the math scores require a lot of intentional assistance and support. So I ask parents to not only look at the district's website, they can actually begin to sign up for our after-school programming, which begins, this is unheard of, on the first day of school, September 6th, after-school program will actually begin. We already have well over 3,500 students who have been registered for after-school programming on the first day of school.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good.
That's great.
That gives parents a big relief, too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I want to thank you for coming on, Superintendent. Always great to have you. A lot of incredible things happening this school year. So tell our parents to get enrolled. Get ready for an awesome school year.
We appreciate you much for everything you've done, your leadership, and we look forward to an opportunity to come back to talk some more.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Second guest today is Deputy Mayor Jackie Quiles. And some people might not know this, but Hispanic Heritage Month is from September the 15th to October 15th. For those who did not know, the observation of the month started in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Lyndon Johnson, and was expanded by Ronald Reagan, of all people, in 1988 to cover a 30-day period starting on September 15th, ending October 15th. It was enacted into law on August 17th, 1988, on the approval of Public Law 100-402. These 4 weeks, we celebrate the accomplishments that Hispanic Americans have contributed to our society, and locally here in Newark, our city is rich in Latino culture. And we just recently enjoyed an amazing Latin festival that took place Saturday, August 21st. If you wasn't there, you should have been. That was incredible festival on Bloomfield Avenue. Attracted thousands of visitors and featured musical artist Olga Tañón. Amazing festival orchestrated by Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Quiles. Let us welcome her on to the show so she can discuss the upcoming events scheduled to take place in our city in honor of Latino Heritage Month. I'm glad to have you on with us, for sure. And you know that Latino Heritage Month is here. It's coming up. We're going to have some incredible things going on. You want to elaborate first on the success of the festival that just happened, and talk a little bit about that, and then you can explain some of the things that are going to happen this month, next month.
Sure. Well, we started the celebration a month before with the Latinos Festival in Bloomfield Avenue. We had a Latina Grammy winner in the heart of the Latino community in Bloomfield Avenue. Not only the community was able to see a great concert, we also have every city department organizations there, like La Casa Don Pedro, Focus, giving our information. So it was also an educational event for our community. And we celebrated, we have thousands of people there celebrating. You could see, if you see the videos, you're gonna see thousands having just a great time after this tough 2 years that we had. Now we're getting ready to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. And we have a nice breakfast that we do every year, and we acknowledge Latinos that are helping us push our city forward. But also 2 years ago, Mayor Ras J. Baraka established the Latino Scholarship. So on this day, we also are going to present 5 scholarships to 5 Latino students from each ward. Mm. And this is something amazing that the mayor did last year, and we're going to continue to present this scholarship on that day. That's going to be at North Museum on October 14th.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really good. That's exciting for the students here in North. So the scholarship, is it for college, kids going to college?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, can you also just elaborate on, you already kind of did the Latin Heritage Festival that happened, and can you explain some of the events you have planned for the...
We're going to have an exhibition at the Newark Library also with Latino artists. We also are going to present 1,000 book bag at the... We're going to celebrate Roberto Clemente's 50-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So on September 9th, we're going to present the students from the school and the area. We're going to give out 1,000 book bags and also celebrate 50 years of legacy of Roberto Clemente. We're working on it. We're going to have several more events, but the main event, it's at the Newark Museum, and the presentation of the Latino Scholarship on Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay. Mayor, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. Just why don't you explain a little bit the importance of acknowledging and celebrating accomplishments of Latinos in our community? So why do we have this anyway? Why do we do this anyway?
We do this because, Mayor, as you know, we always have this conversation. The Latino community have helped us push our city forward in many fields. I'm talking about churches, especially now, what we just passed with the crisis of COVID. They were out there working in the community. We have principals, we have students, we have community organizations like La Casa, Focus, Newark Library working with us. The Latino community has shown, all of us that we are together, that we are one city, and we work together. And this is why we're acknowledging their work that they've been doing in the community. And I'm happy to do this celebration with our mayor and acknowledge the work that they've been doing, not only in crisis, they've been doing this for decades.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have a very diverse Latino community here in Newark, right?
Yes. Yes, the number one is Puerto Ricans. The second largest community, believe it or not, is the Ecuadorian community.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We are the capital of Ecuadorians. We have more Ecuadorians here than any other city.
In the state?
In the state.
Or in the country? Just
in
the state
of New Jersey. And the third is Dominican, but they all come in. Like, we have Mexicans are growing. Peruvians, and every community is coming to see to the city of Newark. We are a sanctuary city. We welcome everyone. We celebrate everyone. Mm-hmm. We raise so many flags in this city. Yeah. We celebrate their difference, you know, their cultures, their languages, mm-hmm. and we continue to grow.
Yeah, we definitely are growing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have incredible restaurants. Yes. You haven't been to any of the festivals, the flag raisings, the events mm-hmm. that go on. You should come and be a part of that. It's not just, you know, Latinos celebrating Latinos. It's all of us celebrating Latinos. So come on out and be a part of all of the things that we're having this month to uplift the Latino community in our city.
And we also have enough. This month it's a lot of celebration. We have the Brazilian festivities. Right. We have the Dominican festivities. We have the Puerto Rican festivities. So this month it's a celebration for every nationality. We have the independence of Mexico. We're right. going to have all those celebrations on top of the Hispanic Heritage Month. We partner with all these organizations and we celebrate every festival, every flag raising, and together we're going to continue our celebrations in the city.
That's great. I think awesome. Yeah, that's exciting too. I mean, I'm sure people from even other cities who probably don't acknowledge a lot of the cultures we do here in Newark, because Newark is like a melting pot. I'm sure they'll come over and visit and, you know, have a good time and enjoy mm-hmm. the culture we have to offer here in Newark. So yeah.
And I'm happy because they see what we're doing here in mm-hmm. the city of Newark, and they are starting to do the Hispanic Heritage mm-hmm. Month celebration, the Latino Festival. Right. A lot of people that have worked with us here in the city of Newark that live outside the city are building their own festivals and celebrations in their city. So it's something great.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. That's good to be a, you know, we starting stuff that's starting a trend setting around the state. So good stuff. Anything last you want to say to the people before we close out?
I just want everyone to be part of the celebrations in our city. You know, Newark has the best festivals and celebrations in the state mm-hmm. of New Jersey. So if you're looking, we want to welcome everyone to the city of Newark. It's going to be celebrations from September 1st all the way to the end of October 15. No one celebrates Hispanic Heritage Month better than the city of Newark.
That's great.
That's right.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Mayor.
Deputy Mayor. I want to thank Superintendent Roger Leon for being on with us as well. Say happy Hispanic or Latino Heritage Month to everybody listening. Good luck to all of the students returning back to school. We want to make this a great school year for everyone. So God bless y'all. Thank you for being with us, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right. You want to follow our City of Newark's Facebook page at facebook.com/City of Newark on Twitter. Our handle is @CityofNewarkNJ, or you can follow our Instagram account, City of Newark NJ. Also follow me on Twitter @RazJBaraka, on Instagram @RazJBaraka. You can also follow us on Facebook @Facebook.com/RazJBaraka. You know, remember to use the #Razin60 if you'd like to ask me questions or make a comment about what you've heard on the show. Post your questions to social media using the #RazN60. Remember, it is important for all of us to appreciate where we come from and how that history has really shaped us in ways that we might not understand. Sonia Sotomayor, thank you.